Pray together.
Lord, we're so thankful this morning that when it's all said and done, Lord, we can belong to you. Lord, we're your children today, and we come before you exactly as that. We come before you as little children today, recognizing our desperate need of a Heavenly Father who cares and sees and knows our burdens, who loves us, Lord, who loves us in spite of the things about us that are unlovable, who loves us in spite of the times when we've failed you and walked away from you, who loves us in spite of the difficulty, who longs to have a relationship with us. Lord, we're your children today, and we come before you as needy children, crawling up in your lap and saying, Abba, Father. Lord, we recognize that you're our Father today, and Lord, because you're our Father, you're capable of answering our needs. You're capable of lifting the burdens this morning. You're capable of meeting our request today. And Lord, as was shown by the upraised hand, there are many of us today that have requests that are close to our hearts. Many of us today that have needs and burdens. Many of us today who are carrying struggles that, Lord, we wouldn't be able to express publicly, but Lord, we could say with our brothers and sisters, Lord, we want you to work. We long for you to work. We recognize that we have no other recourse but to turn to you, because in the human, we couldn't see the beginning from the end. We couldn't see how to work these details out, but Lord, we trust that you're at work and you're making a difference. And so, Lord, we cast our care upon you. Lord, our helpless souls hang on you this morning, realizing that you make a difference in our lives. And so, Lord, we wrap them all up and we bring them to you, Lord. There are many, many needs this morning, Lord. There are many, many health needs. And we pray, Lord, for those who have been afflicted with sickness and, Lord, disease. And I pray today for Jesus' sake that you would wrap your loving arms around them, Lord. And in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the frustration and the struggle, when they don't understand why, Lord, I pray that you would show yourself strong in their behalf and walk near them today. Lord, we pray that you'd lift up the needs today. Lord, for those who are going through physical pain and through physical difficulty, Lord, maybe not sickness and disease, but just simple physical difficulty. Jesus, I pray that you would bear them up under your mighty arm today and show yourself strong on their behalf. Lord, we pray for the families in this church who have a special need from you. Lord, for the ministries of this church. Oh God, I pray that you would move in every single aspect. Lord, we thank you for the people who are faithful week in and week out to serve. Jesus, I pray that you would give them an extra special measure of your help today. Lord, minister to their hearts and help us to get today together to pull on the ropes of heaven for the outreach that goes out of this church, for the people that have darkened the doors of this church in the past year. Jesus, I pray that the message of the gospel would permeate their lives. And Lord, would you draw them to your side, draw them to yourself, help them to know that there's a God in heaven who loves them, and a church full of people who would love nothing more than to see them enter into a relationship with Jesus and be healed and to take up their bed and walk. Lord, we come before you today and we bring the needs of our church today. Lord, we see the many men and women who are here in this church that are part of public service. And Jesus, today as the world grows darker, we pray that you would help them as they lift up a light, as they lift up you, Jesus, as they participate in the public square. Jesus, I pray that you would make a difference in and through their lives, Lord, as they work in our local counties and in the safety departments that we're around. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would protect them, Lord, and watch over them. Lord, today we pray for our families today. We pray for our families today. Lord, what an attack is on our families, but Lord, you're answering prayer. Lord, you're giving strength. Lord, you've made such a difference even this past week. Lord, we stop and we recognize that you're at work even in the justice system of our land. Lord, even in the political workings of our land. Lord, we still realize that you set up kingdoms and you tear down kingdoms. And Lord, we leave that with you today, trusting that you've done and accomplished your will this last week. And Lord, we say thank you. Lord, we trust today for our families, Lord, that you would put a hedge of protection about them. Lord, would you drive back the forces of the enemy today that would love to come in and wreck and ruin and tear us apart. And Lord, would you take through the bonds of love and through the bonds of peace and through the bonds of unity and draw our hearts together for Jesus' sake. Lord, we pray for the fathers in this place. Lord, today I pray that you would shelter them under the shadow of the cross and help them to turn to look to you for every single thing today, for life and for all, for godliness today. And Lord, help us to realize that he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And so, Lord, today we want to dwell in your secret place today. Lord, we want to dwell under your wings today. We want to take refuge in you today. And Lord, as you help us, Lord, as you help this congregation, as you help our pastors today, Lord, we recognize this is October and this is a time when we acknowledge our pastors. And Lord, today we want to again lift up our leadership to you today, our pastors. Lord, I pray that you would help them, oh God, in the innermost depths of their being to experience rivers of living water flowing in them and through them and so flowing into our congregation. Lord, we lift up their families today. Protect them for Jesus' sake today. Hold them close for the heaven's sake today. Lord, move on our church and help us to dwell in that secret place. And for all that you do for us, we'll give you the praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Nate, for leading us. Ushers are coming to receive the morning tithes and offerings. Thank you for your giving. Give unto the Lord. Couple of quick things to keep in mind. Small group leaders have a sheet of paper they're going to get to all of you who are part of small groups sometime today, and it is an updated list of the days that we will be meeting throughout the fall. We've added a couple of dates, had some good feedback from our small groups, and several are really interested in our curriculum that we're doing, our Circle Maker prayer curriculum. And so we've expanded it just a little bit to try to accommodate that. This coming Wednesday night is small group, so please keep that in mind. Brother Nate Becker will be leading our regular Wednesday prayer service right here in the sanctuary. So all of you are invited to that if you're not in a small group. This coming Saturday is a Journey to Bethlehem work day, and somehow we messed up our schedule and announced it last week. And there actually was a Carolina Christian Youth Camp meeting throughout the Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and we didn't want to complicate that. So please come to the work day this coming Saturday. We will be meeting at 8:30 in the dining hall. If you want to come earlier than that, we'll have coffee and donuts. Coffee for all of you that are not Christians. Donuts and milk for all of us who are. We'll have all that available for snack in the morning for breakfast. Then at 8:30, we'll meet in the dining hall, go over a list of all the things that need to happen, pray for good weather, and pray that the Lord gives us a good work day. Then we'll work throughout the day, and lunch will be provided. Also, tonight in the evening service, Not taking the whole service, but I want to take a few moments to talk about Journey to Bethlehem, a couple of new things that we are developing for this year that I want to share with you. It won't take long, but also give you a chance to ask questions. If you have any questions, you can put those in your mind for this evening's service. I'll give you an opportunity to do that. One other thing, next Sunday evening is missions service with Brother Daniel Melton. As you know, he's one of the three missionary families that we support on a regular basis here at Faith Chapel. And this is our only mission service for the fall. And I would like to encourage all of you to be a part of that. Brother Melton and his family do wonderful work in Honduras, and he'll be sharing with us next week. Pastor Jeff has a few things.
Yes, I wanted to go ahead and come down here for just a quick moment. What we have, we wanted to take a brief moment this morning and share with you a story of grace. And we've been singing about forgiveness in our own lives, forgiveness that's happening in all of our lives, but there's a story of grace. There's an individual in our community and our family here at Faith who wanted to testify this morning. So I'm going to ask Brother Juan if you would come up, and then Julio if you would come help translate. If you would be able to come forward, that would be great. And he wants to testify this morning. He wants to share what God has been doing in his life. And I'm excited to hear what he has to share this morning. And I think they've been coming, maybe you can help translate, how many years have they been?
So they've been coming for about 2 years now.
And if you want to go ahead and just share your testimony of what you feel God's been doing for you.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
Yo tuve problemas, pero gracias a Dios estoy aquí con ustedes.
So I had a couple of problems that just came up, but thank the Lord I'm here with you guys right now.
Estuve ausente de aquí en la iglesia por problemas.
Because of those problems.
Pero gracias a Dios, Dios obró. En mi caso, salí, estoy libre.
But I thank God because he moved his hand in my case and I was let go and I'm free.
Yes, praise the Lord.
Mientras yo estuve preso, yo aprendí mucho más de Dios, de la Biblia.
While I was in prison, I learned a lot more about God and I learned a lot more about the Bible.
Y Dios me dio fuerza para soportar que estuve prisionero.
And God gave me the strength to be able to sustain the fact, or support, or overcome the fact that I was in prison.
Yo solamente 2 días estuve algo incómodo, preocupado, pero de allí el Espíritu de Dios me hizo fuerte.
He said it was only about 2 days where I had a lot of worry, a lot of burden on my heart over the situation, but after that, the Spirit of God made me strong.
Praise the Lord.
De allí yo... Para mí ya todo el tiempo que estuve allí yo estuve libre.
But for me after that moment, the whole time I was there, I was free.
Por eso doy gracias a ustedes también por orar por mí y aquí a los pastores que me mandaron unas cartas que también me sirvieron para mi libertad.
And I want to thank you for praying for me, and I want to thank the pastors for the letters they sent to help me get out of prison.
De allí, pues, yo he aprendido más de Dios y estoy aquí con ustedes para continuar en la fe con Dios.
And from there, I've learned a lot more about God, and I'm here with you guys to continue my walk in faith.
Amen.
With God.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Give him a hand this morning. Amen.
Isn't that encouraging? God is at work, and it's just a joy to hear about that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Keep praying for Juan and his family and working on the legal paperwork and all that kind of stuff, and pray the Lord continues to help them. We have a special number in song this morning, and I want you to put your worship hats on, so to speak. Get your worship hearts on and ready, and let's worship together this morning.
If you got a problem, I'd sure like to share. There's one special way I can show you.
Anybody else need to testify this morning?
Well, he talked about this morning. He was standing up there, Brother Juan. He said I was in prison, but I was free. Well, that resonated with my heart. I remember a time when I rolled out the side of my bed and knelt down beside my bed and said, person in spirit and rolled out beside my bed and said, Lord, I'm coming to you for the first time like I never knew anything about you. And I'm asking you to save my soul. And Jesus, for Christ's sake, forgave me of my sins and made me a child of God and has been walking with me ever since. And it's wonderful to be able to cast my cares on the shoulders of a father who, like he said, it's absolutely no bother. We can take our tiny little burdens and we can take the request of a big organization like a school and we can say, Lord, it's all yours. This is your church. This is your school. And you have it all and we give it to you. And he can say, I'll take it. It's not one bit of bother for me at all. I'm just thankful for that.
Amen. All God's people said amen. God's people said amen.
Amen.
Amen. That is encouraging. Amen. God's working. He's speaking. Amen. Amen. All God's people said amen.
Amen.
My heart is encouraged. Thank you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good. Amen. Yes, sir. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's
good.
That's
good. Why don't we pray for him right now? Pray for this family. You may not know all the details, and that's okay. We can pray together. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you today on behalf of a friend and a family. They're connected to our school. They're connected to our ministry. We don't know the details, but you know everything about it. I pray right now you would defeat the power of Satan that's at work. I pray that you would get glory by working in this situation. I pray that you put your arms of comfort and help and healing around this family, especially this young man, this friend. I pray that you would just bless him today. Let him see anew and afresh your love and your care and your concern for him. And may his life be completely changed because of your intervention in his life. Lord, I thank you for those that have heart for others, have burdens for others. Lord, may we continue to be a church that's burdened for the people that are around us. And may you get glory in this situation, we pray. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Amen. Anybody else this morning? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let me take a moment and give God praise for something specific. This is not in my notes at all this morning, but this week was Bridge the Gap service. Prayer service in Hope Sound, and many of you tuned in here at our church and other churches around the country. We did it last year, and it was really blessed of the Lord, specifically in that it gathered about 100 to 200 people praying on a daily basis for 21 days for our young people. And so When it came time for this year, we thought we need to do it again. Anytime you inspire people or challenge people to pray, you need to do it. But I'll be honest with you, it was a very difficult service to plan for and prepare for. And finally, I even asked Anthony Wilson to drive down with me so I didn't even have to do all the driving. And he thought I just was needing some company or something. But I actually needed to be able to get my thoughts together. And I believe that the devil is not pleased when God's people pray. And furthermore, I believe that he fights us from the place of prayer, or the spirit and the attitude of prayer. But I saw God help us in that service on Wednesday. I don't know what you felt through the screen. I know technology, sometimes you can't feel what we feel here this morning. But in Hope Sound at the service, I felt God's presence in a very real way, in a way that was even unexpected for me. And I want to publicly thank him for that, because he does respond when people make prayer a priority. He does respond. And we're talking a lot about prayer. We're in a whole series of messages about prayer. We're talking in our small groups about prayer. A lot of prayer. But I hope and pray that God continues to help us make prayer the priority of our lives, that we pray without ceasing. And I just want to thank the Lord for his help this week. I felt it very, very keenly. I was very aware of it. It wasn't anything that I could do. It was his power and his spirit. And I need to give him praise this morning. Amen. Anybody else want to share? These are encouraging and enriching. They mean a lot. Casey. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Not just to get rid of the stress, but to, and not just to get into heaven, but to know he really is.
Yes, amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. That's right.
Praise the Lord.
That was worth coming to church for, wasn't it?
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Good, good.
I just want to thank God that
That's right. Amen. Amen.
Sure, I think about it, but you know what? My heart is at peace.
Amen.
I wish it would be bigger than little people. And so I try to be, and I want to thank God that He can keep us in a perfect place. Again, talking about that shadow of the Almighty is my favorite passage. God will keep us if we just trust in Him. I want to thank Him this morning for His peace.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Good. Good, good. I could just be here for all afternoon.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Anybody else? We've heard some great testimonies. Give praise and honor to the Lord today. Heard some sermons already this morning. It goes, you know, it makes sense to me that Johnny would preach against texting. Kind of a private joke there, but I think Johnny would rather have a conversation than a text, I think is what he's saying. So, and you preached against the emojis. Were you listening Wednesday night when I talked about that? Okay, wondered about that. Oh, these have been good. Praise the Lord. Why don't you sing this with me? God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. How about He answers prayer? He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He's so good to me. And one more, I love Him so. I love Him so. I love Him so. I love Him so. He's so good to me. Amen. I'll do His will. Yes. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah chapter 6. As I was preparing this message, I felt like maybe this doesn't apply to everyone here. They say that in a church of any size, statistically speaking, 20% of the people do 80% of the work or 80% of the ministry. So if you have some type of outreach or some type of ministry in your community, normally, the people who are involved in that ministry are a very small percentage of your congregation. But I don't know if you've noticed this, but here at Faith Chapel, I don't think that statistic is right. In fact, when you look at our our numbers of people that attend on Sundays, and we've been growing some recently, 130, 140 people on average. And you think about how many people are involved in a ministry at our church or doing something for the kingdom or doing something for the Lord. I would say probably it's more like 80% of the people are doing all the work instead of 20% of the people, or maybe even closer to 100%. And so I don't want you to think for any moment that I am going to be scolding any of you. But we've been talking about these prayers that show up in Scripture that are difficult prayers, or we've been calling them dangerous prayers, not because they're going to hurt you or they're going to harm you or they're going to cause you ill, but they're dangerous from the human perspective because they put you in a place that's uncomfortable. Maybe you want to call them uncomfortable prayers. I'm not going to preach my whole message this morning. I have a number of pages of notes, so we probably won't get into all of it. But maybe I can encourage all of you, especially those of you who are involved in kingdom work, to continue, because I think the devil wants to get us discouraged. He wants to keep us from the place of prayer, but he also wants to discourage us right in the middle of the time when we're doing the best work for the Lord. Have you ever done something for someone and then they weren't very grateful for it? I think we've all experienced that from time to time. You put your neck out, so to speak, or you give of your time, or you give of your resources, and then you don't hear anything back from that person. In fact, maybe what you do hear is something negative or something that makes you feel bad. Well, I don't want to in any way say that all of us here today are not involved in kingdom work. But there is a prayer that I want to bring your attention to that is a dangerous prayer. It is a life-changing, life-altering prayer. It may not be the most dangerous prayer you could pray. I mean, we've been looking at some prayers like, bless me and search me. And then last week we talked about break me. That is a truly dangerous prayer. And this prayer may not be on the same level of difficulty as those other prayers, but this prayer has the potential to absolutely revolutionize your life and mine. And not only revolutionize it, but put us in a position where this could be the most rewarding prayer you've ever prayed in your life. Not because of physical blessings or material blessings, but because of spiritual input and blessing in your life. So let me say this. There is nothing in the world more fulfilling or more satisfying than to be used by God. Nothing compares. You can be on the longest vacation of your life. You can be as relaxed as possible, enjoying the Swiss Alps, and you can go all around the world and see the wonders of the world, and you can do all of those things that would bring enjoyment and hope and help in your life. You would think you can read the best books. You can do all those kind of things. But to truly get the most rewarding, fulfilling experience of life, you need to be in a position to be used by God. This particular passage is a passage about Isaiah. Isaiah was a prophet who was called by God to share God's word with God's people. But near the beginning of this whole book of the Bible, we find this interaction that happens in Isaiah chapter 6. You have probably heard this story. You've probably read this passage. But I want to look at it for just a few moments here this morning. You've been sitting for just a little while. Why don't you stand and let's read the first 8 or 9 verses of this passage. Let me read it to you. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne. This is Isaiah who is speaking. I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And above it stood seraphim. Each one had 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face, with 2 he covered his feet, and with 2 he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory. Verse 4, and the post of the door was shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. This is an incredible vision that Isaiah was seeing. Verse 5, so I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal which he had taken with the tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it. When I was a little kid, I thought, man, that would have hurt really bad. He touched my mouth with it, and he said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged. And also, verse 8, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, Isaiah, here am I, send me. Those two words, send me, are a dangerous prayer. I don't want you to pray unless you really mean it. You may be seated. My brother-in-law is, and don't ever tell him that I used him as a sermon illustration, he is a police officer in Martin County, Florida. Actually, he's a I think he's a captain in the sheriff's department. And there are about, I think, maybe 150 patrol officers in his department that he's in charge of. And so you would think, you know, when he gets a phone call, you know, you would think that he would have some professional way of answering the phone. I don't know how you answer the phone. A lot of people just simply say hello. But my brother-in-law, when he answers the phone, he just goes, yeah. That's it. In fact, a lot of times it's even more of a yeah that's kind of like a grunt, like, yeah. Apparently because of, you know, caller ID on our phones and everything, he knows who's calling. They say that, of course, Americans, we answer the telephone most often. We say hello. That's the phrase that we use. But they say in different parts of the world, different cultures answer the phone in different ways. The Germans, they answer the phone with their last name, Heath, or whatever. The people that live in Denmark answer the phone with their first and last name. They don't greet anybody. They don't say hello. They just say Jonathan Heath. Russians will answer the phone. They'll pick up their phone and they'll just simply say, I'm listening. Sounds like a Russian thing to say, doesn't it? The French are a little more curious. I can't speak French, but in their language, they say something to this effect. Hello, who's on the line? Or who is calling? The Italians, they'll answer the phone and they'll just say one word, ready. And then the person on the other end will say, who is speaking? And then they'll start their conversation. I don't know how the Spanish always answer the phone, hola or something. Maybe some of you can help me with that. The Chinese, when they answer the phone, translated kind of roughly, it's like, hey, hey, who are you? That's how they answer the phone. And then we have these police officers that just go, yeah, you know, that kind of thing. What if God called you right now and you knew from caller ID that it was the Lord? How would you answer the phone? What would you say? Would you say hello? Would you just say, yeah, I'm listening. I'm ready. Now tell me what you want me to do next. Or would you say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Or would you say, God, is this really you? Because I haven't heard a lot from you recently, and I've been praying hard, and the ceiling has been brass, so to speak, and is this really you? I don't know how you would answer God if he called you on the phone, but the truth is God has called every single one of us. In Romans chapter 1, we're called to be saints, followers of Christ. In 1 Corinthians, we are called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. In 2 Timothy, you'll remember this passage, we are called according to his own purpose and his grace. Do you remember those passages? But somehow we get in our minds that having a call from God, not a physical phone call, but a call from God is only reserved for those who are going to be a pastor or a minister or a missionary. And everybody else, you know, you're going to live a Christian life, you're going to do the right thing, but really to have the call of God on your life, that's reserved just for a certain select few. Maybe Bible college life reinforces that misconception, I don't know. But the truth is, we've all been called by God. And down through history and down through the passages of this precious book, we see many people who've been called by God. Moses, he answered God's call. He said, "Who am I?" Gideon, he answered God's call, and he said, "I am least in my father's house. Do you really want to use me?" And God said, "Yes." Zechariah, who is the father of John the Baptist, he got the call of God to be the father of the forerunner of the person to prophesy that Jesus is coming. And he was so unsure of his call that he lost his voice for a time. And in this passage right here, what we see is Isaiah giving to us an example of how we should respond to God's call in our life. But it's not just a matter of picking up the phone and responding to the call of God. It's a matter of realizing who it is that's calling us. Before Isaiah prays the prayer that we're looking at this morning, before Isaiah utters these two words, "Send me," Isaiah has seen a vision. It's as if God parted the heavy curtains of heaven so that Isaiah, a human being on earth, could actually see into the portal of heaven and see into the very throne room of God. We just read it. It's a great description. There are seraphim. Anybody ever seen a seraphim? They have six wings. Anybody seen a bird with six wings? There are these interesting and weird creatures, and they speak with utterances that literally shake the house. And the smoke machines are going too. We read that. Not the smoke machines, but there was smoke that filled the house. And there was these loud voices that filled the throne room of God. And they were shaken. And if you and I had seen the same thing as Isaiah, we would have been petrified and scared. And we would have had the same reaction he had. He said, "Woe is me." I don't know if he, pretty sure he didn't say those exact words. He probably said some words in Hebrew, a very equivalent. Basically, he's backing up and saying, "I am unworthy, unworthy, unworthy to be even seeing God the Father, to even be seeing the creator of the entire universe. Who am I that God would allow me to see his glory and his presence?" There's a couple things I want to point out from this story just quickly before we get to this prayer. Number one, in this passage, Isaiah realizes who God really, truly is. He gets a picture of God. It's like a heavenly vision. It's like a perspective of God he has never seen before. He said, "I saw the Lord sitting on the throne." Not just any throne, the throne of the universe. The place from which the ruling takes place for everything that's in existence in life. That's where our God sits. Our God is in control. Our God is sovereign. And we need to be reminded of that, especially when we're praying to this God. We need to be reminded that he is King, eternal. He has always been. He always will be. He is the great I am. And we have the privilege to pray to him. In fact, we talk about prayer in these terms. We want to go before the throne of grace, we say sometimes. Or we want to come into his presence with our thanksgiving and our petitions and our requests. What does that mean? It means basically what's happening right here in this passage. We have the opportunity to commune straight with the Father. And we don't have to worry about him casting us out of his throne room because we spoke to God. We don't have to worry about him calling the guards and running us out of the throne room. We can stand boldly. Now, we're going to bow in humility, but when it's time for us to speak to God the Father and we communicate with him, we can pray from the desires of our heart, from the burdens of our heart. We can share with him whatever is on our minds. This is the beauty of prayer. And in this case, Isaiah realizes who God really is. And what happens to him, this heavenly vision makes all the problems and pressures of life come into clear focus. Isaiah has been living his life and he's had all these things happen to him and all the things that he is worried about that have been flooding his mind. But when he gets a picture of who God is, all these other things pale in comparison to the reality of who God is. A lot of times, what we think is real really isn't real. The pressures and the problems of life aren't the real things of life. The real things of life is the spiritual battle that's taking place. The real thing in life is there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. The real thing in life, there is a God who is at work and he wants to use you and he wants to use me to accomplish his purpose. So Isaiah realizes who God is. He gets a clear focus of who God is. The second thing that I see in this passage is this. Because of that clarity, Isaiah immediately regrets who he is and how he's been living. He regrets what he has done. He sees himself for who he is. There is repentance and remorse in Isaiah's voice. He says, "Woe is me, I am undone," or "I am cut off," or "I should be destroyed." Unworthy, unworthy, unworthy. Isaiah has this intense regret because he knows that he has done things and lived in a way that is displeasing to this incredible and almighty God. What happens in Isaiah's life, he goes from being self-centered to God-centered. And a heavenly vision causes you and I to move from self-centeredness to God-centeredness. I know I'm giving you a lot of information here. We could expand it a little bit more, but let me hurry on. Because Isaiah regrets how he's been living, because his response in his prayer and his initial words are, "I'm unworthy," or "woe is me," he is able to see what God wants him to see. And the next part of this is Isaiah receives from God the forgiveness and the cleansing that God wants to give. A moment ago, I said one of the greatest thing in life is to be used by God. But you and I can't be used by God until we receive his forgiveness and his cleansing. The seraphim brought one of those coals over to Isaiah's mouth. And he said, "Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged." There is a forgiveness that is evident there. There is a cleansing that is evident there. What's happening here is Isaiah is receiving the forgiveness of God, and this heavenly vision is preparing him to receive the call of God on your life. And that's exactly what will happen to you and me. When we can lay aside the pressures of our week, the pressures of our schedule, the pressures of our emotions, and we get a picture of who God is, then we will be prepared for the call of God on our life. Let me stop right here and say I was in Pennsylvania at the church there probably close to 12 years ago. We had a special speaker who came in, and he was speaking, I think it was a camp meeting, an indoor camp meeting that we were having. But the one night he wasn't required to speak because we had a missionary. And as I recall, we had been somewhere out for dinner or supper, and as we were coming back into town, we ran into some traffic, and we weren't able to get there on time. And it's pretty bad when the pastor doesn't get to the service on time. Something happened, and we slipped in, if not late, right at the tail end. But we knew that this service was already covered because a missionary was there and someone else was in charge of the preliminaries. And so myself and the evangelist sat on the back pew. I can take you to the spot. And we sat there and listened to the service. And I didn't realize this. The fellow sitting beside me, and I'm not going to give you his name, but he was a pastor. And he traveled doing camp meetings and revivals, as many pastors do. Not a full schedule, but he traveled some. He had a very comfortable life. He had a wife and some kids and had a really nice parsonage he was staying in a large church that he was a young pastor of. But unbeknownst to me, and he told me about this later, God began to work in his heart, sitting on that back row. He's the evangelist of camp. And God began to show him. He had already committed his life to God. He had already received the forgiveness of God. He was already following God. But God began to show him that he wanted him to do something more. And right there in that service, God called this pastor and this evangelist sitting right beside me. God called him to leave everything and take his wife and his family to the mission field. And I think a year later, they were on the mission field. And I still remember him telling me about this, and I had no idea what was going on in his heart and in his mind, but what was happening through that mission service or through the power of the Spirit of God, the cobwebs of life were being pulled back, and this man had a vision of what God wanted him to do. And so after Isaiah realizes who God is, and after Isaiah regrets how he's been living, and after Isaiah receives the forgiveness of God, Isaiah responds with the most dangerous and life-changing prayer that he's ever prayed. He says, "Here am I, send me." He accepts the call of God on his life. As my pastor friend was telling me about this later, he said within a matter of minutes, he knew. He knew that he was going to leave his home. He was going to leave his family. He was going to leave the comfort of the ministry job that he had. He was going to leave everything, and he was going to put it all aside, and he was going to move to a place that he had never lived before, to speak a language that he hadn't spoken in many years. And he was going to give his life in ministry to God. The heavenly vision that Isaiah saw produced one of the most important prayers of his life, and it will do the same for you and for me. You might say, "Pastor Heath, are you trying to encourage us to go to the mission field?" No, not necessarily. It would be an honor for someone to be called from this congregation to go to a foreign field. I think it would be wonderful. But I'm not sure exactly what God's plan is for your life. That's between you and the Lord. All I know is this is a dangerous prayer that you and I need to pray. Whether it has to do with a ministry that we're involved in, whether it has to do with a situation at work, whether it has to do with helping someone who needs our help, whether it has to do with a foreign mission field that is looking for laborers for the kingdom, we should be able to pray this prayer earnestly from our heart. Lord, send me. And it's not just for pastors. It's not just for those who feel the call to full-time ministry. God could send you for a short period of time. God could send you for just one situation. God could send you just for one particular event where you can make a difference for the kingdom of God and you could know the joy of being used by him. In the 11th century, the king of Bavaria, his name was King Henry III, he grew tired of being the king. Court life was boring to him, and the pressures of being a monarch, it was just too stressful. And he looked around his kingdom, the kingdom of Bavaria, and he saw a monastery. And he visited that monastery, and he realized that if he was going to find a peaceful way to live, this is probably the most unstressful, peaceful way to live life, and that's in a monastery. So he made application to the prior of the monastery, whose name was Richard, and he asked if he could be accepted as a member of the monastery. He would give up his kingship and spend the rest of his life in service to the Lord. Prior Richard said this, "Your Majesty, do you understand that when you make the pledge to become a part of the monastery, your pledge is one of obedience? Do you understand that this will be hard for you because you have been the king? And everybody has been in the position to have to be obedient to you, and now you have to submit yourself to the position of obedience." Well, King Henry looked at Prior Richard and he said, "I've thought about it. I understand. I understand that the rest of my life I will be obedient to you as Christ leads you." Prior Richard paused for a moment and then he said this, "Well, I'll tell you what to do. Go back to your throne and serve faithfully in the place where God has put you. If you're going to be obedient to me, then I'm going to tell you to go back to your throne and do what God has called you to do." When King Henry died, there was a statement about his life that was written and said this, "The king learned to rule by being obedient." When you pray this prayer, "Send me," I'm not automatically saying God's going to send you to Africa or Taiwan or Honduras or Guatemala. When you pray the prayer, "Send me," it's not necessarily going to mean you're going to have to give up the life that you know. But it does mean this. It means you are putting your all on the altar. And for that, it is a dangerous prayer. It means that you are willing to live your life in obedience to God for the rest of your life. Not just avoiding sin, not just not lying or not cheating or not stealing and living by the Ten Commandments, but you're asking God to speak into your life about how you use your time, how you use your talents for him, how you give of your treasure to him. When you say, "Send me," the reason why this is a dangerous prayer is because it actually puts you in a place where God, you're giving God permission to do anything he wants to with your life. Have you ever been jerked out of your comfort zone? Have you ever been put in a position where you're overwhelmed and you don't know where to turn and the only place to turn is God? Yeah, I think we've all been there. This morning, I am asking all of us, have we answered the call of God in our life? Have we prayed this prayer, "Send me"? I know you might say, "Pastor Heath, I'm a little bit older than you, and I'm retired, and I don't have a lot of money, and I don't have a lot of resources. How can I pray that prayer? Where is God going to send me?" You'd be surprised. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, "Pastor Heath, I'm in the middle of a career. And God's opened doors for me and I'm walking through those doors and God is blessing my career and God is blessing all of these situations in my life. If I pray, 'Send me,' you really think God is going to unroot me from where I've been and put me on the other side of the world?" Not necessarily. Praying, "Send me," to God isn't necessarily saying, "Okay, God, this is what you need to do." Praying, "Send me," is saying, "God, this is where I'm going to stay. I'm going to stay surrendered. I'm going to stay submitted to your will. I'm going to stay in a place where you can use me." The truth is that God is calling you today. And he's calling me today. He's ringing your number. He's known your number before you were ever born. And not just your cell phone number. He knows your number. He knows how you think. He knows what makes you tick. He knows what you're excited about and what you're depressed about. He knows your number. He knows everything about you. And he is calling you to be a part of his kingdom business. He is asking you to give him the opportunity to use you in a mighty way. Maybe you will experience the joy of being used mightily from God, for God, to the point where others' lives will be affected and eternity will reap the results. God is calling. The question is, how are we answering? Are we praying and communicating our willingness to be used by God? Are we praying this prayer, Lord, send me? Would you stand with me this morning as we close in prayer? Lord, we thank you for your blessings in our lives, all the good things you've done for us. We thank you for forgiveness, the hope of heaven. We thank you for providing for our needs. We thank you for our church. We thank you for the wonderful service we've had this morning and your spirit that's been with us, and these testimonies that have been so encouraging. We thank you for all that. But Lord, I pray that our response would be a response of prayerful submission to your will. God, you know if you're asking someone to do something today that maybe they're uncomfortable doing, or you're asking someone to do something today that they're a little bit nervous about or they're not sure of, I pray, Lord, you'd give them the courage to pray, send me or use me. And Lord, I pray that all of our lives would be used by you to impact others for eternity. And may you get glory and honor for what is accomplished. We'll praise you in Jesus' name. We ask these things. Amen. Amen. Thank you for coming. You are dismissed. The Lord bless you.